thank you for the good days we've had together. I hope you feel like I do. It's been sort of a thing we're doing together. Brother Dale told me before I got here, he said, Mark, you're going to find it easy to preach there. And he was right. And I thank you for that, because I know that's because you're praying. Your hearts are moving where God is moving. The same Spirit is moving you that's moving me. And I thank you. It's been a blessing. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. You've called us together. We've spent these days together. Lord, we have a future to face. We don't know what's coming, what's going to be on the horizons. We're men, and we have the precious ladies and the little children in our care, facing the future, Lord. We thank you so much. We praise and glorify your name, that you're with us. All the power of heaven is with us. But Lord, we need you. We need your Spirit. We need you to help us to lead our families and be a blessing. To strengthen our children to face the future. Help us, Lord. Bless us now this afternoon. We're looking to you. Lead my thoughts. And would your Spirit minister to each heart personally, according to the needs. In Jesus' name, amen. It's okay now. Sorry, I hit something there and turned it off. Yeah, as we look at the future, have you stopped and thought about how much things have changed in the last 15 years? In our little town in Chachagua, in Costa Rica, things have really changed. I like to be a friend to youth. I'm always trying to friend youth at home. And it's changing. Our youth are changing. I'm talking now about the youth in the world. They're written outside. Our world is changing. Lord, help us. How can we strengthen those souls that are in our care to face the future? But God is with us. God is with us. I don't want to discourage us, but I would like to remind us it's serious. And we need to take it seriously. I don't know. This has been such a blessing, and I appreciate so much what was shared yesterday when I sat down. It was sort of different. I still had notes to go, and my mind went blank. And I'm sure the Lord wanted that. And thank you so much for each of the ones that shared after I did. Maybe we should just do the whole session that way. because there's lots of wisdom from you. But there's a few things maybe before I go into the subject today. Last night a brother asked me a question. A very important question. And I woke up in the night. I was laying awake a while in bed. Early morning hour, that's common for me, especially when I'm getting ready for something. And I was praying and thinking. And the question's important enough that I'm going to touch it briefly for all of you. He asked me the question, how do you know when your child is accountable? That's an important question. And he told me that they have a little daughter. I bless him. He's gone now. He left earlier and we talked a little bit again here earlier. He has a good relationship with his daughter because his little girl is, I think he said 11 or 12, 11 I think, and she talks to him and she tells him. And she says, Daddy, why do I get so mad at my brothers and why, after her brothers or whatever, why am I having such problem with anger? Why am I so, oh, Daddy, what's wrong? It's important to understand, and this thing of an age of accountability varies a lot. Children are different. Your children are all different anyhow. You know that. They're so different. You have to deal each one individually. But the thing of a young child, I remember I did it as a child. I saw it in my children. A young child will say, Daddy, I'm sorry because I lied. or you know, do good if they say I'm sorry at least, or I feel bad because I hit my brother, or I hit my pinched my sister, or I bit someone. You know, they feel bad about certain things they did. And this girl that he told me about, when she says, "What's wrong with me? Why do I just inside? I just can't." The difference is when they come to the point of seeing that it's not just I did this wrong, I did this, but something's wrong inside me. I mean, I'm just, why am I so angry? Why do I just? Another thing you'll happen, even if, I think if I'm, maybe some older men can help me on this, but even if you have trained your child to obey in adolescence, in preparation for the Lord to come in their heart, your children will start struggling with their carnal nature. They'll start frustrated. They'll have trouble with victory in their life, purity and things, and they'll start conflicting the brothers and sisters. I remember when my daughters are just, what's going on here? All these conflicts. But anyway, I want to just encourage you, if you have some of that. I told this brother, if you can now help her see when she was younger, the little switch would take care of it. Guilt would be released. I'll just say this real quick. Have you ever thought of the effect when you scold and scold and scold and scold and scold your child? Or correct him, or correct him, or correct him, or correct him, and he never gets affirmation? You realize you're hardening his conscience? And you might say, I can't please that anyway. It's much better, if he is disobeying, it's much better to take him and spank him. Because the spanking relieves his conscience. I'm a witness to that. I can tell you some stories, but I'm not going to take the time. When I felt so bad, but Dad took me back in the room, and with love, he spanked me. And then I came out, everything's taken care of. But in adolescence, it's different. That happens in little children. In adolescence, there's that inner struggle with the carnal nature. And I told the father, I get tears in my eyes, it's a beautiful thing to do. If you as a father now can lead her to the Heavenly Father, help her understand her carnal nature. Help her understand faith in Jesus and repentance and the work of the Holy Spirit that takes care of that deeper problem. That is a wonderful thing if you as fathers can do that to your children. If they do it with someone else, that's okay, as long as it happens at least, right? But it is a precious thing to lead your children to the Lord. And be conscious of that. If you start seeing a child start praying for them, they're just frustrated, and you see it's their carnal nature. Pray with them, and maybe you can then kindly talk to him about it. Don't push them. Don't push them to give their life to the Lord, but help them to understand it. And that's a beautiful thing if you can lead them. That's why you're here. And that's why he calls you a father. So you can lead them to the real Father, the eternal Father. That's our goal. You want to do that with each of our children, don't we? There's different questions that have been asked that I'm sorry, I won't have time. And one of them was, different people have asked me, how to win back older children. Yesterday a father asked me, if my son is older and I lost his heart, I think he said his son is 20, 21, something like that, and I lost his heart, I know I don't have it. Am I too late? Is it too late? No. You missed something? Yes, okay. But you're not too late. Then he went on to tell me something that happened. And I said, Father, right there, you're right on it. He says, how do I win my son's heart? And he went on to say how his son did something that he appreciated, and he knew he did it because he knew his father liked it, wanted it that way. And so he wrote him a note and said, son, thank you for doing that. Thank you. And then the son comes back and says, thank you, Dad, for the note. I told him, Father, you're already on the way. You're already on the way. But remember, your children and the people under you, you know, if you have a boss, yesterday, Aiden, we snuck away. And Aiden took me over and showed me some of the community. And we walked into their business. And I saw Aiden walk in. And I don't know, Aiden, are you, where is he? I don't know. Back there. Aiden, are you the boss there or your brother or anyway? But as you walked through, you know what? Every one of those employees, and I sensed that, I think, unless he was trying to impress me. I sensed as he walked by, he'd give them a word of affirmation, a friendly thing. You know, an authority needs to affirm the men under him. If you need to correct them, correct them. But you need to, if you want to get your employees to love you, it's when you praise them and you appreciate them and you thank them. Now I'm talking about your children, really. You know, your children need that. And we can so easily, especially if you have a problem child. Some children, I don't understand, some children are a lot harder than others. Some children, you know, pull your hair out. And be very careful that you don't express your frustration and anger. But the child, if he needs more discipline, needs more time, he also needs more affirmation. But all of them need it. And find out ways to do it. You know, I don't know. Depends. Maybe they'd be ashamed of your age. But I used to do something. If you ever come to Chicago, I've said something in church about him. If they'd see me look across the room and wink, they knew I wasn't winking at any ladies except my daughters. I don't do it as much now. They're 22, you know. They're. But you know, if you want to try something out, next time you're in church, look over at your daughter and give her just an open smile like that. Here, Strickland. And just smile at him like that. You smile back at me, right? You love me? I love you. You do that to your... Here's another test. Try it with your wife. Some people look at their wives in the eyes and smile, and the wife goes like this. But that is, it's a nice thing to do. Just look across in the group and look at your daughter or your son. Just smile. And they can look back. You know, there's a basking in the love of my mother and my father. And if you have a wayward son that's been wayward now, he's out, he's away from home. Every son longs for the love of the father. Who was the brother here yesterday? I don't know the names. I'm not like Dale. I'm sorry. Dale can remember names. I can't remember many names. But one of the brothers said the thing of being ashamed of his son when he went wayward. Your son needs your love. Take time. Take effort into showing him you love him. And with our children, they need that approval. Words. Touch. Now, I know this can vary some from family to family. If your family's not used to touching, I can understand. From my experience, I'm a touch man. From my experience, I encourage it. If it's awkward for you, I guess that's okay. Another thing that I used to do with my son sometimes, maybe if he's adolescent and embarrassed in front of people, I'd sit beside him and put my arm around him. Then I'd pull him just a little bit, just, you know, pull him a little bit. And if he leans over into me, maybe so slightly you wouldn't even detect it, but I detect it. It's a good sign. But if you tuck him, you pull him a little bit, and he does this. Oh. I'm just trying to give you ideas. You have other ideas, maybe better, but just watch the heart. Watch the heart. And love them. Love them. Another thing to do is when you discipline them. I would please say, especially fathers, mothers too, but especially fathers, please, when you discipline your child, especially if they're a little older, you know, take them into the bedroom, be alone with them. And when you're finished, discipline, hug them, love them, pray with them, wipe their tears. Maybe it's a little hard for some of us men to do that, but your son needs it. Put your arm around. And then if you spank a child, put your arm around and pull him towards you. If he does this, he pulls away from you. He's still something's not quite right. I'm not telling you what to do in that case, but it just shows something not right. Because you can, those moments, and other father told me about that too. I'm sure you've all, well, a lot of experience that I hope. Those moments of discipline and then that closeness is something that unites the hearts. That's why I can look back and I thank the Lord Jesus, because this is Jesus' way, you know. This is Jesus' plan. I thank you that I was able. I can look back in my dad's spankings, and they're not negative to me, you know, because there were those things of togetherness. Children need love and approval. And men, another thing, your daughters need love and approval. This is not normal. Most of us don't. I didn't. But if you had trouble with sexual perversions when you were young, and you might, this is not normal, but it does happen. Where there's a sexual attraction to your daughters, I don't understand that. I could always hug my daughters. And my youngest daughter, she'd sit on my lap. She always wanted to sit on my lap for devotions. And this got to she was almost getting in her 10, 11. She was so big, it was unhandy. And I had a hard time getting my Bible around her, you know. And I remember the other day we were talking about it, and she chuckled, says, yeah, sometimes I'd sense it. But that I'd almost say, hey, darling, come on, sit over there. Then I think, no. All too soon. She went up, sit on my lap. Let her sit on my lap as long as she wants to. But your daughters need that. I remember one time I was telling a daughter, and she wasn't, her parents weren't Christian. And I was telling her, she was in the church, I was telling her, you know, because of your lack of the love of a father and a good home, you're weak prey for the men. She knew it. She had already had her problems. If your daughter does not have the love and acceptance of you as a father, and God's plan is that there's no sexual attraction at all there. If you've had some trouble in a group this size, it's very possible someone had trouble with that. Look for help. Talk to someone. Find someone to help you and pray about it. That there should, what's one good thing you have with your daughter? She's a daughter. She's not a sexual attraction. And so give her a love. Give her that, fill that tank of a man's love. Because if she's this, you know, distant from her father, any old guy can come around and start promising her things and giving her attention and swipe her off her feet. Your son's the same way, too. Your son's the same way. Even in the son that is distance from his father, it's much easier that a young lady can come around and start making him feel like a man and a bunch of other things and serious problems. So take time for your children, and please, I'm talking to myself. I didn't do this near as much as I should have. And remember, be it fishing, be it, especially in your child, you're losing his heart. What is he interested in? Maybe it's something you're not interested in at all. I had a man tell me just, maybe we were talking about this, I was coming up here, and he said, you know what I discovered not long ago? It was interesting. I thought back, and my father, every time I had any mention, I forget what of it, one of it was fixing up old cars for a while. He said, every time I'd have an interest, the interesting thing was Dad was interested too. And Dad would help me, and he'd help me go and do these things with me. And I said, you know what I discovered not long ago? I asked my mother, I said, why was that? And she just smiled and said, he was after you. he was trying to encourage you. Yeah? Maybe we have our hobbies. Maybe we have our things to do. Invest some time in your boys and your daughters. Take time with them. It's much more valuable. Okay, well, the last subject I'm sorry, brethren, I feel like I should talk about teaching. The verse in Ephesians says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. No, I said that wrong. Discipline and admonestación. Discipline and admonition or nurture? Nurture, okay. The nurture part, the teaching part. I'll just throw this in real quick. You have a lot to do with teaching. Teaching is not just, I'm just teaching the Bible. You are planting values, developing values. My dad was never big into tractors. I never was either. I like to drive oxen better than tractors. I did some oxen when I was young in Costa Rica. But somehow my uncles taught me that John Deere's the best tractor. I've never driven a tractor, but for me, still, the green and yellow tractors are prettier. And I think they're better than the rest. I don't know. I know nothing about it because I'm not a tractor man, you know. But how can someone planted that in me? Talk about gates and horses. I like horses. And there's a certain gait of a horse that I where did I get that? I got it from the Costa Rican friends. That's been planted in me. And there's some gates that the Peruvians like, the Mexicans like, but the Costa Ricans don't. And I don't care how much the horse is worth in Peru or in Mexico, but his gait is ugly. Why? because someone planted in me, this is what a pretty, it's really not that important, you know. So. Now, why can't we do spiritual? That's the spiritual values, we plant them in them. You see what I'm saying? How can we teach our children that Ford or Chevrolet or whatever are better, but spiritual values are weak? So that's what's teaching about, teaching. You know, in devotions, when you're walking, when you're driving, wherever you're at, you're teaching and you're developing values. And of course, a lot of that is your own example. That's the example I give them. And so there's so much more we could talk about. But I'd like to speak a little bit now is dealing with competition for our children's hearts. We need to look at that. The competition. There is competition for our children's hearts. And so just a few scripture here. Let's open the Bible quickly to Proverbs chapter 30, verses 11 and 13. Proverbs 30, 11 and 13. 11 to 13. There is a generation, and just notice this, it seems to me that this must be talking about our time. There is a generation, verse 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Proud young people, don't listen to mom and dad. The old people are no good. They don't know how to do things, you know, just all this. They even, you know, the old language here says, they're pure in their own eyes and yet not washed from their filthiness. It's like people that can criticize and tear everybody else down and show all their mistakes, and yet their lives are not any better. But anyway, now let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thinking about the time we're living in, I'm just going to read this as we're living in dangerous times, it tells us here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. One to five. This know also that in the last times, perilous times shall come. I think we're in those times now, right? Perilous. Perilous means dangerous. Dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Dangerous times in the end, where people are not, they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and that results in all these other, without natural affection, and all the rest, that whole list, we could study it. And then he says, from them turn away. Why do we have to turn away from them? We should try to witness to them, try to win them. We should be, you know, actively doing that. But he is cautioning us, and I think, in this case, he's probably saying that type of thing can be a danger for even us as adults. You know? For me, even. And how much more our children. You know, if we want to face this world, and I have no idea what the... Well, I have some ideas, but I'm not sure. I remember some years ago, back when someone gave me my first computer. I work on text and things and writing. One of those old computers was this big, and you know, a big thing like this, and had these floppy disks in it, you know, those funny things. You remember those old things? Old computers. And then the cell came in. Someone gave me a cell too. And those things I was given to me. But anyway, they had this old cell, those old things, big things like this, and thing you plug them in the car, you know. I remember I said once, you know, I think the time's probably going to come when the computer, the telephone, the TV, and the radio, and all these things are going to be in one piece, one device. Thank you. But I was imagining a thing like a fax sitting in my office. Where is it now? It's a little thing this big, and you've got much more than anything from a pitch pipe to a TV. You know, what all do these little things have? You know? We'll talk more about that later, I hope. But I think and so many things, I'd like to just remind us again, there's someone very interested in your children. Some of you have told me stories, and some of you have said things that break my heart. And I think I can see, and you can see it, that this enemy of our souls, Satan, is intent on your children. And he'll start doing things, and I am moving things, and trying to do things just in small children, babies even. He is intent on getting them bitter, turning them away. We could talk about that. I don't think I'll have time. What are some of the most efficient things that he uses with our children, our young people? And one thing is what he tries to do with us. One of the most efficient things he has is rebellion and bitterness. Oh, can he do harm? I can sometimes not believe it. There was this one little boy who came to church. I used to love him. He used to tell me things, and we were friends. I like to be friends with children. By the way, be friends with the children. You might make a difference. Even if you're not the father, take time with them, love them. But anyway, I used to be a friend of this little boy. And all at once, it was like I said the other day, his father discovered he lost his heart, and the boy gets rebellious and doesn't want to obey and doesn't want to come to church and so on. And so I invite him, and we go out, and I invite him out for a little, got some chicken in a restaurant, sat down with him. I tried to talk to him, reason with him. But just, I told him. I said, he had a younger brother. What are you going to think if you keep on like this and your younger brother, who has more one of those outgoing little bold little guys, what if he would end up in drugs because of your influence? I didn't know how fast it was going to happen. Just a few months later, the younger brother was out and doing drugs and things. But how in the world can a child get so hardened? Have you noticed how people get hardened? That's been just recently, again, a few times. People that we could talk with. Then you go and talk to them, it's just like talking to a stone wall. And sometimes young people, that's the work of the enemy. The God of this world has, how does it say, blinded their minds? Blinded their minds. The way he can get young people and people just to deceive them, they get a hardened mind. I would like to encourage us as fathers to detect that early with the smiling at them and loving them and spend time with them, play games with them. I know you don't play games anymore, maybe. Maybe you like to go out and play softball with the brethren in the church. That's okay every once in a while, but please take time and play with your little children. We have so much fun. There's a game right now. There's some kind of little game that you compare things and you see who can do things fastest. My daughter Dorcas and my younger, they're so good at it. Dad's always last. I mean, a few times I've won. And then they cheer. You go, woo! Because when Dad does it, that's amazing. Because I'm slow. I'm as far as my, you know, their reflexes are fast. But you know, those games are fun. I mean, and the good thing is what's happening between Daddy and the children. That's much more important than out there with the big guys and hitting a home run. It feels good, I know. I've hardly ever done that, I don't know. But you know, take time to play games with your children. Take time to do things with them. Do that before, to where it hurts. And one thing Dad said is have an atmosphere of love at home. You know, I think Satan does this too. You know how easy, do you have this problem sometimes? Where you can just be bickering and bickering with your wife? Just the little dumbest things. But it's sort of conflict. That's our carnal nature. We can have conflicts and bickering over the dumbest things. Silliest things. But you know, if we have a home where mom and dad are, there's friction. Oh, please. Try to put your pride down. Sacrifice. Give in. Do something. Talk to your wife. Fast and pray with your wife. But you want a family where there's love. Love to go home. We're going home tomorrow. Right, Dale? We're on the way tomorrow. I've enjoyed this very much, but usually about the last day comes and I'm getting ready to go. But if your children want to go home, that's where there's love, there's acceptance, there's dad and mom, and there's here I am at home. I can kick off my shoes, I can be myself, and I'm loved. Please, let's work at that. And take time to do that. And I say this, brothers, I say this because I've failed at this. I know what it is. I've done some of it. But when I look back, I wish I would have done more. And by the grace of God, God has blessed us. But take time for those things because there is an enemy. There's competition out for your children. And please don't think that your children can resist it. They're like the little plants in the greenhouse where you protect. You don't put them out up here. It's out in the cold, right? You keep and protect them till a certain stage, the right condition, then you put them out. Don't expect a 12 or a 13-year-old to stand up to a lot of peer pressure when you're not around in a certain place. Don't expect that of a 12 or 13-year-old. When my son was 20, 21, 22, how old was he? I forget. He went to Jordan with Cam for a year. I took my other son up to get on the bus to go to Honduras for a few months to learn the job he's doing now. I spent the night in the hotel with him. We did a little talking. But you know, when you let him go, how's he going to handle this out there all by himself? That day comes. It comes all too soon. But when they're little, don't expect your 9-year-old, your 10-year-old. Sometimes they're admirable, the way they can stand up and say, no, I don't do that. You know? But don't expect you can put them out there and expose them to a lot of influence, because your child still has a carnal nature. And for our carnal nature, sinning is attractive. You understand? You know that, don't we? For our carnal nature, sinning is fun. So don't expect that you can take our young children and expose them, protect them, care for them. There are certain places, even relatives sometimes, there's certain places that you can go together as a family. Praise the Lord for brotherhood. Where's Leonard again? Anyway, maybe he's gone. I'm just so blessed by those messages. Praise the Lord, there's brotherhood. So there's family that I can let my daughters and my children go spend the night with them, and I can sleep. Oh, no problem at all. They're in a good home. There's not a lot of music and other things. But there's certain places, and it might be relatives. It might, you have to be careful. Sometimes it's even in the church. I don't like to say that, but sometimes there's certain cases where you have to be careful. I remember one time years ago, my daughter, she was the oldest daughter, she was like, eight, nine or something. And a friend came to visit her, a young girl. And so when she left, she asked if she could walk with her part way home. And I said, yeah, go ahead, just, go and then come right back. Go to a certain point, then walk back. And when she came back, praise the Lord, she told me, she said, Daddy. And she said, the other little girl told me, let's stay and play a while. Your dad won't notice. Just, who cares? Let's just play a while and do something. And of course, I asked her, well, she didn't do it. She came home. So when I know there's a little girl that says things like that, I want you to know. If there's a girl that's going to set up against daddy and against obeying the rules, you can still go visit them. You can still, but some places you better go together. It's a nice thing to the family, anyway. Visit people. Sing for people. Our family, we love to sing for sick people or do things, visit, do it as a family. But remember, you need to protect them and care for them and not just throw them out in the open and not know what happens. And that was That was a mistake I think my father made. I don't think he'd mind me saying it, because I think he wants to listen to these messages later. Because Dad is a good dad. But after we were converted and we told him some of the things we were into, he says, "When? Where? Huh?" I remember he was just like surprised. "When, Mark? When were you doing these things?" He trusted us. That was nice. You know, that was good. He trusted us. That was good. And there was a part in Dad that helped us win our hearts because of that. But there's the other side to it too. He didn't realize what was happening. And so. And I'd like to encourage us to remember, we as men are responsible for even the influences. So we as men are responsible. It's like if you're raising up little chicks or something, you know, you're raising up little plants. You're the one that's supposed to make sure, keep the bugs off or whatever, the things, you know. And we are responsible to watch that. And I'd again encourage you, try to find someone or somehow get in contact with someone that can be a hero for your children. And encourage the connection. Encourage the relationship. We have, listen, right here they are, there's some of them, the older men too. We have a lot of heroes in the church. We have young ladies that are admirable. We have young men. Thank you, young men. I don't know how many of you are married here, but thank you, young men, for being here today. Thank you. But this morning I saw a son and his father kneeling up here together. Thank you, son. That's what he's made. Last night I was a man, I think he's here, I don't remember. I get you all mixed up. But there was a father that came up to talk to him beside him. Two big boys, like those big strapping boys. And they were right there beside Dad, you know. Some boys don't like to stand beside Dad, huh? You know? But we've got young men that are admirable. School teachers. Those are the type of men we should encourage a connection there with those men. Your boys can admire them. I want to be like him. And watch it if he's imitating or like someone out there in the world. Watch that. And I think you're responsible to do something about it. Think so? Try to. You can't just take a stick and whack him over the head and change that. If he's all into, well, back when I was young, it was the Beatles. That's been a long time ago. I went to public school three years. And back then it was the Beatles. We'd carry around these little cards. I used to know all their names. I don't anymore, praise the Lord. The Beatles, you know, they and some others started some, but Michael Jackson was way worse. Remember when Princess Diane was popular? Everybody in Costa Rica, at least even the ladies, be combing their hair like Princess Diane. You know, everybody was doing, everybody imitating. And just notice that. I don't even know who they are right now. I mean, who are the popular people? I couldn't care less. But you need to notice if your children are, that's the people they're admiring. That's the people. Let me just think here. Through you. Talking about the internet, we talk a lot about the internet, and I'd like to mention a little bit about it. I'm just going to throw this in before I forget it. Just not long ago, there was a young lady told me, says, "I'm addicted to the internet." But as a lady, it's not pornography. And so I was curious, what are you addicted to? She says, "I just love to follow celebrities, these famous people, movie stars, and their worlds and things that's going on. I don't even know what that's like. I mean, who cares? I couldn't care less." But she said, And she was telling me, and she wanted me to help put a block on her computer because she said, "I know it's working against my Christian life. You know, I'm following these famous stars and famous people, musicians or whatever. And you know, if your children do that, remember your children follow their heroes. So try to help that. Try to control that. Take your children to places. Encourage them in that way. The other one I think, as far as thinking about why we lose so many children, is is modern doctrine, or I don't say modern doctrine, or false, wrong doctrine. I'd like to encourage us in that, because we face it all over, don't we? I'll give you a little example. Some years ago, my daughter, my oldest daughter, praise the Lord, she has two grandchildren. They're the joy of my, the apple of my eye. My wife told me, my wife called me a bit ago, the most wonderful voice on the phone. And she said, maybe Sunday night, my grandchildren will be in the home. I hope Grandpa can be a hero to those little boys. But anyway, I'm going to try. But back when she was young, she had some real health issues. At one stage, I would have thought she probably could never, she couldn't even marry. She would never be able to marry and things. But now she's got two grandchildren and such a blessing. Her husband is a blessing. But after some of these health issues, we were up here in the States and we were with some relatives. And we have a variety, my wife especially has a wide variety of belief in her relatives. And we have good family times together. We get together and have a good time together. And some of us talked about health. I think they were not talking about my daughter. I think they were talking about some health issues. And then a young lady, which I love, she said something about, you know, if we would have enough faith, we wouldn't need to be sick. We could be healed. You know, this thing of the faith healing thing. She said, if we would just have enough faith, we would need to be healed. I mean, we would need to be sick. And you know, she went on a little bit about that, and I didn't say much. But later, as we got in my father-in-law's van and were driving, I was thinking about this, and I think, yeah, I brought it up. They had heard that. And some of the relatives dress very different than we do. Very, very different than we do. And yet they talk about Jesus and they praise the Lord and all this. And anyway, I'm not criticizing them. I don't want to do that. I'm just simplifying. And then I said something about this issue. And then Anita says, Daddy. But Daddy, she was already a believer. She says, my sickness has been a blessing. If I wouldn't have been sick, I wouldn't love Jesus the way I do. It has drawn me close to Him. Can you imagine the little discussion we had in our family as we drove in this, on your interstates up here? That's new for me. But, different for me. But, you know, that type of thing. They hear those things. And can we give them answers? Can we talk about it? We don't discuss that thing. You know, is God's glory only revealed in healing and some of these things? And there's hundreds of opportunities like that where we need to, they hear all kinds of things. There's all kinds of questions. And I remember just the other day in our Bible Institute at home. And I don't mind young people asking questions. I like young people to ask questions. I don't like it quite as much if there's a rebellion behind it. But I encourage young people, you should be able to ask any question and we should be able to give them a good answer. That's why we need to lead with wisdom. We need to be able to, they should not feel threatened when they ask questions. In one of the classes, one of the teachers came later to him and he was asking my brother Phil, I don't know, Dale, you were there or not. He said, one of the students asked me, he had a class on modesty, dress and modesty. And he one of the students asked me, but the veiling is not a salvation issue, is it? And so the teacher, I don't know exactly how that, did he write it or did he say, no, I think he said it in class. The teacher came and he asked Phil and me, and I don't remember Dale, I think there's someone, I don't know if Dale was there or not. And so how do you answer a man like that? What do you say to that? The question is not just the veiling, it's the veiling a salvation issue. But the question is obedience a salvation issue? Is it or is it not? Study your Bibles. We heard a message last night. Study your Bibles. And brethren, you need to give answers to your children. If there's something or a deep theological thing that you can't, well, then you can take them to your pastor, to the minister. But, you know, you should look for answers. And you should be able to say, you know, and understand this, is obedience. And to be able to give solid Bible answers. And if you need to say, listen, give me a little time. I'm going to pray about this and study this a little bit. But give them good answers. You're not going to win your children by giving just a quick, dogmatic, bum, 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 bum answer. And too often, I've probably done it, we give a cheap answer, not a very good answer. And watch that. Watch your children when you're speaking to them. I've noticed that when I taught school, a teacher learns to watch his students and see if they're picking up. We used to have, I'm not saying this critical, it's a very common thing. We'd have parents come in, the brethren in the church come in for devotions. And so we have older brethren that were converted after their children were grown. They never raised children, they didn't from the world. And so they come to school and they have a devotions. And they're all excited. And they get out their Bible, and they read some kind of chapter here and they talk and talk and talk. But they don't even realize it. They're talking way above the children's heads. And the children don't even understand. That's okay because he's not used to it. That's all right, But a good teacher needs to be watching and seeing if people are following you. Is the answer I'm giving, does it look like my son says, oh, yeah. Or did he want to? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what I'm simply saying, we need to seek the Lord, and if you need to ask advice, pray. But we need to lead with wisdom, and we need to be able to give good answers. We need to say, and some of the things that were said yesterday, Brother Leonard said it today. Please, you know this, but we have to still say it. If you criticize your ministers a lot, how do you expect your children to want to be part of the church? If you criticize the brethren a lot, how do you expect your children to want to be part of the church? And I, as a minister, I have a pastor who will struggle with that sometimes. We know about all the problems, We know all the good. We know a lot of good things too. And if I'm constantly negative about this, and negative about the church, and negative about the ministers, and some of us are really good at analyzing a message. Yeah. I'm going to tear it apart. Yeah, listen. I'll give you the right to analyze my... If you can improve on my message, I'm sure you can. I'm not always balanced. I'm not always 100% on. And if one of the pastors is a little off balance on something or other, well, the next master, the next minister, the next message will balance them out. But this thing of just being constantly critical, watch what you're doing. The next thing you know, they'll be doing it to you. And when you start telling them things, and they say, Dad, and you planted the seed. Here's another question that's common. And this is something that maybe even some of us fathers grapple with. Is veiling a salvation issue or not? What about this? What about that? The question is obedience a salvation issue or not? And then the other thing is, I just heard it again the other day, are there some doctrines more important than others? Well, these doctrines are foundational. These are very important doctrines. These others are sort of... Well, who decides which ones? Have you ever heard people take 1 Corinthians 15, the first chapter, the chapter on the resurrection? There's a beautiful statement of the work, like a declaration of faith of the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus. I've heard people say that is the foundational gospel. That's the core, and the rest is sort of here. Sort of, is that true? I'm so glad Jesus answered that question. Now I'm not going to say that some are as far as importance and what comes first and some of that, but Jesus said, "Go you into all the world and teach the nations." And teaching, baptizing them, the Father and Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what? All things that I have taught you. So I do not have the right to start sorting them out. And you don't realize what often happens, I think I've noticed, is the father starts a little something going and the children take it, jump farther. Just remember that in things like love for hunting and sports and things too. That happens there too. You lay a little start and you got it started, you got it going, and then you're going to have a hard time pulling it back. That's not wrong to play. If you like to play, I would encourage you, please play with your children. I really would like to encourage that. Play with the children. Or at least if you play ball, play it in a way that your second grade or third grade can play with you and have fun. And you encourage him and you have a good time together. But anyway, back to this thing about the doctrine. I think it's something we need to look at. And I think it's something maybe we have laid the foundation, and then they would say, why did our children go out there to another church where I don't feel good about? And maybe some of the things that I taught and some of the things I said have laid the foundation. And certain things are not salvation issues, and certain things, or I've criticized the church. Just think about it. We need to think of them. And I don't have the answers, brethren, on a lot of these things. I was thinking this morning, I felt like I'm not sure if I've covered what I should have this 4 days. But if I can at least stimulate the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit can at least stimulate us to think and see some of these things. I'm sure I don't learn a lot of things. So this doctrinal issue is something we need to be careful about. And now I'd like to just briefly talk about the Internet. The Internet is a marvelous thing. It's incredible. Cell phones are incredible. You know, it's right now, communication worldwide, instant. It depends how you set up. You can do it free. And it's a tremendous tool for evangelization, we can say. And the computer changed my writing. When I started writing, I did it all right on my hand. Whenever I want to go back and correct it, and make some changes, write the whole thing over again. Yeah. The computer has brought some wonderful changes. The technology that makes communication possible was created in creation. The radio waves and all the laws that make technology possible. I was impressed yesterday in Brother Aiden's shop. There are the things they're making and some of the machines they're making. Right? And I told him, that's the image of God in us. The laws of are put in there. But it has also become evil is so easily accessible. Do you remember? Well, I guess I'm a little older. The other day someone said, old white man. What, me? What are you talking about? Because I don't feel that way. But anyway, back when I was young, pornography was a thing. I know we looked for something in some trash places and certain things. There were certain stores that probably had it. I never bought it. But you know, pornography was way out there. And then it was only the little bit I didn't see. It was just black and white pictures, you know. I mean, I'm not saying that was bad enough. But now, it's all over. And I agree with Brother on we have a block on our computers. We use the Internet. If some of you don't, I just told my wife the other day, I respect the people that don't use it at all. Maybe 10 years from now, I'll say, I wish I would have. I'm not going to say that, but we do use it with a block. But even if we do, that doesn't solve the problem. Because it's all over. The friends, telephone, and that now it's in these little things like this. And it's all over. And it is. And do you think Satan's involved in some of this? I said that what I did about the laws of technology. God created those laws. But do you think Satan's using this? I appreciate so much. I don't know about you, but I appreciate so much when I was probably back before I was born that some men decided we weren't going to have TV. I'm so glad. You know, I've told people this, and some people laugh at me, especially if they're used to TV. When I get into a restaurant, I don't look at TV, I don't look at films, I don't know. But I get into a restaurant in a certain place or a bank or something at home, and in the banks you have these films going with violence, and they start shooting and boom, boom, bang, and people falling over, I get shook up. And when I tell my Costa Rican friends that, they look at me, you're a funny guy. Then I tell them, what do you think is best? How do you think God wants to be? They're so callous to violence, it still bothers me, and I'm glad it does. That's just an example, you know? And so, I would just like to, I'm not saying exactly, I would say encourage, let's all look at it. Because on the internet now, TV is mild compared to internet. Pornography is one bad thing. There's music. Do you realize that, who could help me here? 50 years ago? Well, more than 50 probably. I remember when there used to be those old reel things to record, you know, singing on. 100 years ago, at least, the only music you could hear was live music. I think it was 100 music. Maybe a little more. I'm not sure. Now, you have access to all the music all over the world. And I don't even know what it is, but the people at home talk a lot about satanic music. There's heavy metal. And there's rock, and I don't know. I'm glad I don't even know all what that all that stuff is. But there's satanic music. I'd be careful where I say this. But I think we're old enough here, and please don't ever meddle and touch it. There's a lot of satanic material available that they can just tick, 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 tick. Please, anyone here, please never touch it. Never go there. But remember, when your child is young, and depends what a friend says, and depends the curiosity. Who was it? I think Brother Leonard said something about that. Some of us might have a hard enough time staying off of some things we shouldn't sometimes. And here's another thing I won't get to it. But some of us might need some healing on some personal issues to help us be better fathers. But I would just really encourage us, this little thing. You know, be at the computer, be at the... There's an access to all the world's filth. Be it the celebrities and the vanity and the fashions and all this music, satanic information, pornography. There's so much there. It's right so easy. Now, we can't totally destroy it. Because it's right around at home. I don't know. At home, the poor people have anymore. Everyone has cell phones. I don't know how they pay for them. They can't afford them. But everyone, they're all over. They're all around us. And we fathers, we need to think about how you're going to get your children ready to say, no, I don't do that. And the prods of the, or watch them. But my goal is that at least in my house, my wife and I have said that if we can't stop, if we can't block some of that, I'd rather get internet out of my house. And if some of you do that, I admire you for it. You might be wiser. But I'm not willing to risk. And I hope my grandchildren will do the same. We need to help develop them. They need to face this world. So tremendous. But we need to look at this and I just like to encourage us with this. I was, when was it? 6 months ago and almost 10 months ago, I was in Paraguay. And this mother, and I could feel her heart. She said, why? Why, just because of money, do we have to expose our men and our boys to this? A good question. I don't know how you handle it up here. We're still grappling. We have had brothers' meetings and discussing how to handle some of these things in the business world and some of this. And I wish I'd have some time to talk with some of you and you give me some advice. How do you handle some of this? But the mother's heart was right. Why do we have to expose our boys and our men the way she... I could sense just because we have to have it. Do you do this here too? For money? However you do it. How do you do it for... And then the other thing is, men, we enjoy it too. Maybe not the evil part, but it is really handy, isn't it? We need to think beyond that. Look at your children. Look who's following you. I'm not telling you what the solutions are, but we need to look at it. If you just ignore it and don't look at it, I think I can be enough of a prophet to say someday you'll regret it. Someday you'll regret it. So just look at it, and the Lord help us with that. And remember, who should look at those things? Us. Us. We men. Don't just depend on the ministers either. I don't know how many ministers there are. All of us. We need to look at this in our families. So we need to protect our families. And what I just love to encourage us is that my home. Home is a beautiful place. That's a good time to talk about it. I've been gone a few days, you know. I love to go home. I can kick off my shoes. I can be myself. The people I love the most, I love you too. You know, the people I love, my children, my family. Home, and home should be a safe place. And I hope, brethren, you could send your children to my home. Because Mark's home is a safe place. And I could send my children to your home. It's a safe place. To raise our little children, the little tender ones. You know, like the yuck. I think it is the Y-A-K. You know, these animals do those long, little, they're not very big. I used to think they were big, not long. I saw some, and they're just pretty small. But there's these little, like little buffalo things with big horns and long, shaggy hair. They live up in the north in the Arctic. And they say when there's danger, there's polar bears or wolves come around to the little ones. You know what they do? The little ones gather in a circle, and the adults all stand side by side in a circle around the little ones. And when the wolf comes, all they face is a wall of horns and long, bushy hair. And inside are the tender ones. Isn't that a pretty picture? We, men, we are called to stand in the front. We need to stand. We need to be a barrier. We need to stand up. We need to face it. And here, men, if we're not healed on some of this, I'm sure that a group this size has been a problem with pornography. And if you have, please, in the name of Jesus, because I love you, look for help. I could go on and talk more about it, but I have, by the grace of God, and I'm not dragging about this, I have not fallen into that, but I have helped men, married men, who are having serious problems. I've laid my hands on men and say, Lord, would you somehow erase these things in his mind? Let he forget this. And the hindrance that can be when he wants to love his own wife. But if you please, if you've never been there, young men, decide never to go there. It's satanic. It's demonic. It messes up your concept of love. I've talked to these men. They have perverted desires that they learned off the internet. Perverted desires. So please, don't go there. And if you've been there, seek help. Pray. Fast. Get the Lord to cleanse you up. Because we are called to stand and take the wind and take the storm and protect the little ones. May the Lord help us. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these 4 days we've had together. And Lord, in spite of my weakness and failures, you have visited us. You worked in my heart, Lord. And I just pray that your Spirit would give us the courage, each one of us, to stand up and be filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, die to ourselves, know what it's like to be crucified, the freedom of crucifixion, to live for you, Lord. Lord, that we could be the men. We have precious wives and such precious little children. We have young people. We have some who already have hardened hearts. But we're called to minister, to reach out, to bless, to reach out to them. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us divine wisdom, divine courage to do what you want us to do and to be what you want us to be. Meet the needs of the men here tonight, all of us, Lord. You know the needs of our hearts, and there's some here that are struggling with bitterness, rebellion, or passion, perverted passions, Lord. effects of the internet, the pornography. Lord, I just pray that in the name of Jesus they could find freedom to be men for you, Lord, men of honor, noble men, clean men, that their wives can lean against and trust. Oh, Lord, help us. We need your help, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.